Welcome back to another Barnes Bullets podcast. Today, I've got Greg Sloan with me and Kagan Carter with me. How are you?
Good.
Doing good?
Doing great.
Okay. Greg?
I'm doing pretty dang good. Can't complain.
Can't complain, yeah.
It's getting to a good time of year.
It is getting to a good time of year, which granted, I think this podcast is going to go kind of late season. More in an off-season type of thing. I think this is going to be like a December release. But, yeah, we're recording it in September, just FYI to everybody. So hunting season is upon us. And with that, right, like with the reserve coming out recently, some other, you know, cool cartridges that we've been, you know, releasing lately through Vortex LR and everything else, we thought that we wanted to talk about, should you chop off your barrel? And by chopping off your barrel, we're saying shorten your barrel.
Yeah.
And we really want to kind of talk about the added benefits or what you're going to lose when you do that. So, let's kind of jump into this. I guess my first question would be, why would you ever want to chop your barrel?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. It's a good place to start. You know, really, I guess even before I jump into that, I will make mention. I think it's if you follow the gun market, you know, different firearm offerings that are out there now, we've all noticed like the trend, right? You're seeing more and more guns come threaded, ready for suppressors. You're seeing more and more bolt action, even break action, know, gas guns where guys are running shorter and shorter barrels, even on hunting rifles, you know, barrel lengths with even Magnum cartridges that traditionally would be 24 inch, 26 inch. All of a sudden you're seeing 20 inch models, 22 inch models. So whether you're buying a rifle, that comes with a shorter barrel that's threaded, ready to go for potentially a suppressor or whatever, maybe it's a short handy rifle type, configuration, or you've got a rifle, you know, like you said, why would you cut off your barrel?
Right. You know? Yeah. I mean, I guess that I should kind of preface that, right? I'm saying like, why would you chop off your barrel? What I'm really saying is like, why would you want a shorter barrel?
Yeah.
On a rifle.
Yeah. And I think for the purpose of this conversation, we're going to we can discuss SBRs, like short barrel rifles.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we're going to focus on what will be still considered non-SBR length, so meaning 16 inch and above.
Yeah, you know? More like traditional hunting rifles.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you get into obviously the SBR ARs, you know, guys that are purposely building, you know, cool little bolt actions on chassis with a 12 inch barrel, say in a 300 blackout or something like that. Those are pretty neat too, and we can discuss some of that. But really, we want to focus on, you know, say you have a hunting rifle, it's 24 inch, I want to get a suppressor, you go put a suppressor on a 24 inch barrel, all of a sudden, guess what? It's pretty long now.
30 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or longer.
Yeah. Or longer. Yeah. So that's kind of the why is short barrel really, at least for a lot of us, and what kind of has brought on this conversation is, and you know, we've seen questions, comments.
Yeah.
Why would you want to go have your barrel cut off, have it threaded? Maybe it's not even threaded. Maybe you just want a shorter gun.
Right.
You know, it could just be for the ease of handling in the field.
Right.
It's shorter, it's lighter, it's handier.
Well, I mean, I feel like, you know, even before suppressors really became so mainstream, if you will, over the past, call it 5 years, you know, that it's become easier to get a suppressor, therefore more people are doing it. And, you know, it's, I hate to say trendy to start shooting suppressed. I mean, obviously I did a podcast earlier this year with the Go Hunt guys, and I said that it was, what was the words that I said? Andy gives me crap about it a lot, but
Uncivilized.
Yeah, there we go. That's what it was. For some reason, I had another word in my mind, but yes, it was uncivilized, not shoot suppressed.
Yeah.
You know, but it's become trendy. But before that, right? Like there was this trend to make these quote mountain rifles that were short, compact, ultralight. Right.
Yeah.
So even before that, like people were already starting to do it before even shooting suppressed.
Right.
And then you start getting suppressed and people are wanting it even shorter and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So I think if you brought up a good point, like a bolt action mountain rifle configuration that could have been a, a 308 Win or a 7mm 08, and it was a 20-inch barrel.
Right.
You know, lightweight, super thin contour, lightweight stock.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't threaded. Right. The intent wasn't to have a can on the end of it.
Yeah, it was just short packable, like very light.
Right. You know, and you could go all the way back to even like carbines, you know, lever action, you know, running shorter barrels. They're just, you know, I mean, Kagan can talk to this. You know, he goes and chases dogs with, you know, follows them around in the crazy places they go. And
he's not chasing bears and mountain lions. He's chasing the dogs, chasing the mountain lions and the bears. Yeah,
you just play dog pickup. That's all you do.
But I'm sure a gun with a, you know, long action receiver, 26-inch barrel, probably isn't the most handy thing to have with you. Nope. You know, thick timber, heavily wooded areas, trees, whatever it be. I mean, if anyone obviously has tried to even swing and shoot offhand a gun that's configured that way, generally you want something light, handy, fast pointing, those kind of things. And so scout rifles, you know, that's another thing where shorter barrels generally have been the trend over a long time. But yeah, that's really kind of the why, is make it handier, make it shorter, make it lighter. And we're going to be pretty heavily focused in this conversation on mostly with the intent to put a can on the end of it.
Right. Yeah.
Keep it a normal length with a suppressor.
Right. You know, and that's really the, you know, I mean, we've all done it.
Right.
You know, you get your first suppressor or can, generally you're probably looking at, okay, what do I have that's already threaded? Maybe you had a muzzle brake on a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You can unthread the muzzle brake, put a can on if you have a direct thread. Or it's, I've got this gun now, I need to get it threaded, and I'm taking it to a gunsmith or somebody that can thread the barrel, the end of the muzzle.
Yeah, when I got my first can 2.5-3 years ago now, I just put it on like the first gun that I had, right? And it was a 7-rim mag with a 26-inch barrel. Yeah. And even though it was only a 5.5-inch can, now all of a sudden you have a 32-inch barrel almost.
Right.
You know,
swinging a broomstick.
It's crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so I would never want to pack that around the mountain. Maybe shooting in a box blind or something like that, right? Where you're deer hunting, no big deal. But it's still
even then
crazy long.
Move it around in there. And
trying to like configure it to get it out.
Get it out.
It's crazy.
Well, and there are disadvantages to a short barrel, and I think we want to dive into that maybe later in the conversation. But you know, if you're thinking about, like we just said, you know, I remember I got my first suppressor.
Yeah.
You know, and I had some short barreled stuff. I had ARs. I had like a little 300 blackout bolt gun that was like a 18-inch, is already threaded. You know, those kind of things are awesome. You throw a can on, you're like, this is great.
Yeah.
But like you said, you've got your 7-rem mag. I had my 300 Win mag. I've got a 280 Ackley Improved that's 26-inch.
Yeah.
I have my 6.5 284 Norma that's 26-inch. You know, I kind of go back to that. You know, we've talked about this a lot. I go back to where my mind was 20 years ago.
Right.
And you couldn't have convinced me with a lot of these cartridges to go that short.
Yeah.
It's like, you're crazy. You know, if somebody said, here's a 20-inch 300 Win mag, like, you're wasting your time.
Right.
You know, that's a waste of the cartridge. You know, a 24-inch was, you'd accept it.
Yeah.
But in my mind, you're like, I want a 26-inch barrel. But like you said, you go throw a can on a 26-inch barrel and go pack it around. All of a sudden, you learn real quick, this sucks.
Right. So, you know, I guess we kind of hit on it a little bit, right? But like, what do you consider the absolute main advantages of having a short barrel? Obviously it's packing it around and stuff like that, but you know, do you want to make any like specific points about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a couple. One, it is the overall length.
Yeah.
Right. It's obviously, in my mind, it's to get back to the original length of the firearm.
Right.
With a suppressor.
Yeah.
So if it started at 26-inch barrel and I go out a can, instead of adding the 5-6 whatever inch length of the can on top of that.
Right.
I'm going to subtract that or close to, maybe I only cut 4 inches off of it. And hopefully with suppressor, I'm back to the overall length of where the gun originally started. And I'm mostly focused on bolt action, more hunting type rifles.
Right. Kagan, do you got any main points?
That's the same thing, just getting back to normal. I mean, take a gun case, for instance. Most of your gun cases are 55 inches long, and take a 26-inch barrel and can, you're not putting in a gun case.
So. Yeah, I mean, even like shorter, I mean, and we'll probably get to this, right? But even like shorter barrels, like you still can't even get it with a can in there. I mean, you're still going to take the can off most of the time. So
yeah, and you could also argue there would be an added benefit of the stiffness of the barrel.
Yeah.
You know, especially if we're talking sporter weight contoured barrels, the longer they are, the more flex they're going to have, right? And so if we go put a can on the end of it on top of that, now you got all this weight out on the end of it. It's going to potentially change the harmonics of that barrel. You know, you go cut it off shorter, it's a contoured barrel, right? It usually tapers down.
Yeah.
And so you're now generally a little stiffer, a little bit larger diameter, the shorter it is.
That's an interesting thing that I never really thought about, but it makes complete sense. And I relate it to an arrow, for example, right? Like you look at like an arrow and it's a specific spine, for example, and it's got a flex, but that's when it's at its longest. Then you start cutting it down and it actually gets stiffer.
Yeah.
But then you put a heavy broadhead, for example, because you want to bump your FOC or whatever, right? And now it becomes like the spine changes in itself. So that's an interesting way to do it. With every advantage, there's always going to be a disadvantage, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and I think that this is where people don't really think about it. You know, like all they want to do is, quote, chop off their barrel, get a shorter barrel, and put a can on it or suppressor. So what are some of the first disadvantages that you're going to have when you do this?
Yeah, I mean, from a performance perspective, it's really you're just losing velocity.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and we're going to dive deep. We want to talk about some different examples of cartridges, powders, bullet weights, some things that are more efficient, less efficient, some good ideas of what performs better with shorter barrels. But yeah, I mean, really, regardless, if you had a 26-inch barrel and you're going to cut it to 20 inches, you're losing velocity.
Right.
Absolutely. You're losing velocity.
So do you feel like there's kind of a rule of thumb, if you will, of like as you start to chop that down, like what you're going to lose?
Yeah, there's generalized estimates. Yeah. I mean, you can Google search stuff. You can look online. You can talk to the experts. And generally, the average is usually about 25 feet per second per inch.
Per inch.
Okay. I can tell you from a lot of testing, measuring a lot of velocity in the lab through different barrel lengths, it's a very rough average.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, and again, right, like that's the whole thing is that right. It is an average because it all depends on burn rate of the powder and yeah. Everything like that.
Yeah,
right?
There's a lot of variables yeah. that are going to affect how much. But yeah, if you want to just rough estimate, hey, I've got X cartridge, my gun is 24 inches, I'm going to cut off 4 inches, you could roughly estimate I'm probably going to lose 25 feet per second per inch. You right. could lose less, you could lose more.
Right.
Yeah, and we'll get into some specifics, but that's a rough idea,
yeah.
which is worth thinking because we're talking about disadvantages. Okay, if my cartridge started out at 2,800 feet per second with a standard load
yeah.
and 24-inch barrel, and I want to go, you know, all the way down to 20 inches, okay, I'm potentially losing 100 feet or more. When I'm 2,700 or less even at the muzzle, you just shortened your maximum effective range
right.
from a perspective of bullet function. It's not that you can't hit targets, right? It's yeah. not that if this is a target gun, a match gun, you know, you just want to be able to ring still, you know, you could get into a whole other conversation of barrel length.
Right.
But from a hunting perspective, you've essentially shortened the performance potential of that cartridge.
Yeah.
You've shortened the distance now of which you can expect proper bullet upset or mushrooming or bullet expansion, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Bullet to actually be able to have enough impact velocity to expand the way it was designed to do.
And I mean, essentially that's across the board, right? It doesn't yeah. matter if you're shooting 6.5 Creedmoor, you're shooting a 7 PRC, you're shooting a 338 Grom.
Exactly.
I mean? Right. So, yeah. Like it's literally across the board. But what I would say is one thing that I've kind of noticed is you're not seeing these 6.5 Creeds, right? Because they have a 24-inch barrel is kind of standard. Most of those guys aren't chopping off 4 inches on a 6.5 Creed, right? They might chop off 2.
Right.
But then it seems like more when you start getting into Magnums or PRCs and stuff nowadays, right? That's where you're starting to see people kind of chop a little bit more off. So, yes, you are losing that long-distance effective range. But if you're only losing 200, let's just say 200 yards or something like that, well, that thing already has a pretty...
Right.
Like, you know,
yeah, there's definitely
pretty long extended range, if you will. So it's probably just kind of putting people where they should be anyway.
There is. But it is worth thinking through and really considering, though, if I'm, and I'm not even going to use a specific cartridge, I'm just going to use a velocity.
Yeah.
If your cartridge that you're using and bullet weight, I'm going to say falls in that 26 to 2800 foot per second muzzle velocity range to begin with standard length barrels.
Yeah.
And now we're going to potentially lose 100 to 200 feet. On top of that,
right?
You know, there's a chance that you maybe only had a 400 yard effective range in reality,
right?
With terminal performance considered to begin with, and all of a sudden, if that's now 200 yards or 300 yards.
Yeah.
You have to think about that, right. You know? And so it's maybe that pushes you to shoot a potentially higher performing cartridge to begin with, totally accepting and understanding the fact that you're going to lose velocity.
Right.
But it's something you're willing to accept in order to run a suppressed firearm in a handy length. And okay, now I'm still, even though I lost that velocity, I'm still in that 2,900 plus potentially range.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we could go down a crazy rabbit hole there, right? Because it's like, okay, let's say recoil, right, is the reason that they're shooting this smaller cartridge, like a, let's say a 243 or a 6.5 Creed or something like that. Well, if you start to lose that velocity, like you're saying, and you're shortening up that range, but now you want to step up to a larger cartridge to be able to get your range back, that suppressor is going to help with your recoil mitigation and sound, obviously. Oh, yeah. And everything like that. So like there's these weird little trade-offs that like I don't think a lot of people are thinking about, right? It's like, I just want to shoot a 6.5 Creed or a 6.5 PRC because it's got a, you know, decent recoil. I don't have to worry about Magnum, blah, 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 right? But then it's like, okay, well, if I put a suppressor on there now, that 6.5 PRC is shooting like a 243, let's say, you know? So it's kind of weird how there's all these little ebbs and flows that, you know, you do this and this happens, but yet you're losing this, but yet you're gaining this and, you know, all those things.
I think it is worth bringing up, though, if we think, and I'm a bolt gun guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my passion. I have ARs, I have gas guns, I mess with them here or there, but I'm not some diehard gas gun guy. But if we think about the gas guns, most of those are 16 inch to begin with.
Right.
You know, there are longer, obviously guys are building rifle length systems and 18 inch and 20 inch barrels. But if you think about, you know, AR-10 based platform firearms and 308 Win, for example, there's a ton of 16 inch 308 Wins out there.
Yeah.
There's 16 inch Creedmoors and gas guns.
Right.
You know, 16 inch 6.5 Grendels. You know, and they can perform, but again, that has to be even considered. We're not even talking cutting your barrel off. That's just where it started.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden it's, hey, if I'm an ammo design, you know, I'm putting something on the market to function, is this being fired out of a 16-inch 6.5 Creedmoor or 24-inch Sammy Spec 6.5 Creedmoor? You know, and I'm thinking about muzzle velocity and the bullet and the range at which it expands and has weight retention. And we try to, you know, we really have to consider really the end user,
right,
and the main audience, I guess you will, and get them something that will perform. But sometimes that drives us to build more specialized ammunition for, right, those products. You know, you look like our 6.5 Grendel 115 in the TAC-TX ammo.
Yeah.
You know, that 115 grain bullet is designed to function well, you know, out even 300 plus yards out of a 16 inch barrel.
Yeah.
You know, but 6.5 Creedmoor, you could take a 127 grain LRX and a Vortex LR load, great performing load, 2,840 feet per second muzzle velocity, that's a 24 inch gun. You go shoot that in a 16 inch barrel Creedmoor, guess what? It's no longer 400 yard, 500 yard capable on game.
That's crazy.
You know, it's something that you just have to really think about. Otherwise, maybe you're going to be kind of displeased with the performance. But in reality, it's, you're going outside of the parameters that that product was really developed and designed for.
Well, as you kind of get down that road of like talking about different products that are designed to do something, right? Let's start talking about some of these, you know, cartridges that you've seen, like, and give me some examples of some that have performed well, and then also some that like you'll see made like drastic drops, even when you're only take 2 inches off of a barrel, let's say. Yeah,
no, it's a good one. I'll start. I'll let Kagan chime in. I know he's got a ton of experience on this as well. I'm going to start with one that surprised me.
Okay. One that surprised
you. One that surprised me. It did well.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit shocking. So
So before we do this, right, like I was talking to Jim Bruno, our CEO, this morning, and he was just kind of like, hey, like, what do you guys got going on? You know, just kind of catching up. I haven't talked to him in a while. And I was like, yeah, we're going to record a couple podcasts today, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, what do you guys got coming up? And I told him about this one, for example. I was like, I think this is going to be a really cool, exciting one for people to listen to because, you know, it's just hitting on stuff that I think is very relevant in our age right now.
Right.
And he's like, really? He's like, that's something that I haven't really thought about. And he started to kind of ask about like, well, what cartridges are really, because I was like, you have to think about this. The way I think about it personally is that, quote, modern cartridges, talking about like PRCs, I would automatically think those are probably better on shorter barrels versus legacy cartridges, right? Because I wouldn't think they would be, quote, as effective. So that's something that I started kind of thinking about, and I would love to hear your answers. And I kind of know where you're going with this, because we were kind of talking offline when we started talking about this. So I know your first answer. I don't know what the next ones are going to be. So right. I know what surprises you. But as I was thinking about it, it's like, well, I think that like PRCs and some of these other type of like new age cartridges are going to be really, really good for that, because they have super fast burning powder. They have shorter, you know, case length, all that type of stuff, right? Versus those legacy, if you will, cartridges. Yeah, and it,
potentially.
Right.
Potentially. And we can start with 7PRC.
Yeah.
Before I jump into the one that surprised me, let's just start with 7PRC. I think you could argue by design, a shorter, fatter powder column generally is in theory more efficient. It's a more efficient burn. Right. Now, having said that, I can load, you know, I'm just going to say a number out there. There could be 8 different propellants. There's more than that, but let's just say there's 5 to 8 different propellants that work well in a 7PRC. Within that range, they're all adequate. They're all suitable for that cartridge and the burn rate, you know, but they give off different flame temperatures. They give off different energies. They have different burn characteristics. So even though they're all suitable, you're going to find one that's more effective than the other. You know, and it, now you could, again, I'm going to take a step back and say the cartridge itself could be argued that from a design perspective, the literal geometry of the case and the internal powder column, in theory, will be a more efficient powder burn than, let's say, a 7mm Remag that's longer, narrower, right, in theory. 7PRC is one that works awesome in short barrels. It's a Magnum. Now, generally speaking, and I said that's why I said this one surprised me, your kind of classic legacy old school belted Magnums, long action cartridges, you know, I'll even go as Weatherby type cartridges, Win Mag, 7 Remag, you know, even some of the STWs, kind of your Ultra Mags, the real big 20 Nosler, you know, your real big kind of overbore, huge case capacity, slow burning propellants, generally aren't as effective with short barrels.
Okay.
You need enough barrel to effectively burn that propellant and get the full energy potential as that bullet is accelerating in the bore, right?
Got it.
Not saying that they can't work with short barrels either, but yeah, you're right. There are some cartridges that in theory by design would be more effective. 7PRC is a great example. It's a Magnum cartridge that gives Magnum performance and actually does really well out of shorter barrels.
Yeah.
Compared to some light cartridges that are more legacy by design.
Okay. So go ahead and tell us that one that surprised you.
The one that surprised me was 300 Win Mag.
300 Win Mag.
300 Win Mag.
Again, a legacy cartridge.
A legacy cartridge, Magnum, long action, you know, again, in theory, if we're going into cartridge design, it's not going to be as efficient as, say, a PRC.
Yeah.
But, and this is going to get into propellant. We can talk about that. It's not that the 300 Win Mag across the board works awesome in short barrels. That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the load, depending on the powder used, it can do very well. I remember way back when, and I already mentioned this, but there was a time in my life where I didn't want a 300 Win Mag shorter than 24 inches. I mean,
you couldn't have paid me to take one. Right. I wouldn't have touched one.
Right. It's
at
like
24 inches.
If a gun manufacturer came out with a 300 Win Mag rifle with a 22 inch barrel, it's like they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
These guys are idiots.
Yeah.
You know, give me a 24 inch, 26 inches, even better.
Right.
You know, so with that, I was helping my dad with the 300 Win Mag build, put a new, it was just a, I shouldn't say build, it's pretty basic, but Remington 700 SPS factory rifle. We put an aftermarket, you know, fiberglass synthetic stock, put a better trigger on it.
How long ago is this?
It's been a while. I mean, this is, probably 6-7 years ago.
Okay, so really before like suppressors kind of
took off, if you will.
The time we were starting to really jump into
And we were messing with suppressors at work.
Yeah.
Kagan and I kind of about the same time frame. We always wanted them, you know, like a lot of people. It's kind of, and we've probably been long. We're probably eight, nine years.
Somewhere in that
we've
range.
Been in this suppressor world personally.
Right.
But yeah, it was like, oh, they're cool. They're neat. I saw the appeal. I used them for some stuff, some work stuff. I took a 9-inch 300 blackout hunting hogs in Texas 12 years ago.
Nice.
Awesome, by the way. That's a fun setup. You know, 110 grain TAC TX, again, built for that barrel length to still function well.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see the appeal.
Okay.
But it was like the hassle of the tax stamp, the paperwork,
right,
the fingerprints. There's always that whole
and price.
Like, and right, price. Absolutely. I mean, you got to buy the suppressor plus pay for, you know, we went through a gun trust, and so you've got the added price of the trust and the added price of the stamp. And pretty, pretty soon you're like, I don't have a bunch of extra money. You know, I've got a family and raising kids. And it's like, the gun hobby enough is bad, but now we're going to go out. Oh, not only do I need a new rifle and a new scope, and I'm always changing something. It's, oh, now I need a suppressor too.
Right.
So, but anyways, we finally got into the suppressor game, and then kind of the same thing we're talking about. Now all of a sudden it's, well, I got a 26 inch barrel. But anyways, I was helping my dad. He was going to use this can for an upcoming hunt. I was like, we really need to shorten this gun. It was actually a model that came with a 26 inch barrel.
Okay.
So super long gun, long action receiver, 26 inch barrel. And I put on a Silencer Co. Omega can. So fairly short can. I was running it direct thread.
Mm-hmm.
I actually took the anchor brake off with a flat cap, just trying to keep it as short and light as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what is that? An Omega?
I think they're like six inches. Just over 6 inches.
Somewhere right around there.
When you take the anchor brake off and everything.
Yeah. Great can, by the way. But anyways, so it's like, okay, let's cut this off. Now, we have the added benefit working at Barnes. We have a full machine shop in-house. That can do work. They do all of our gunsmithing work for the lab, chamber our barrels, you know, threading, truing up actions, all of that. And so I took the rifle into work, had a box of Vortex ammo back then, 180 grain TTSX in the Vortex, took it out to the range, shot through our Ehler chronographs, measured velocity, came immediately in.
And this is at 26 inches with the can on it, right?
At 26 inch. Yep, at 20. Well, no can because it hasn't been threaded yet.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So 26 inches, box of ammo, shot five rounds, measured velocity. I stuck the box of ammo on my desk, tore the gun apart, took it down to the machine shop, had it chopped down to 20 inches, which I was super debating.
You just went straight to 20.
I'm like, going 20. I was like, screw it. I can't remember exactly the conversation, but it was in my mind, I'm like 22.
Yeah.
Seems more reasonable with a Win Mag.
Right.
My personal build that I have now with a carbon barrel with the 1/8 twist that I've talked about for the 208 grain that I shoot, it's 22 inch. That was kind of my balance point.
Okay.
Not too long, still maintaining velocity. But with this one, I was like, screw it, we're going to go 20. It's my dad's gun. I'll take a chance. It's not mine.
We can re-barrel if we have to.
If it sucks, I know not to build mine at 20.
Right.
But, right. There might have been a little bit of that. But anyways, we take it down, we cut it off, thread it. You know, I get the gun back however long later, put the can on. I go to the exact same box of ammo. So same box. Go out, same chronographs, shoot. I only lost 75 feet per second total.
Off of 6 inches?
Off 6 inches with a 300 Win Mag.
Wow.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know, that load is, I can't remember my exact numbers, but I'm going to say, what do we box, 2950, 2960-ish? You know, I think in this 26-inch gun, I was pushing on 3K at the muzzle.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden I'm getting over 2,900 with a 20 inch Win Mag, pushing a 180 grain bullet to like 2,920, 2,925.
Right.
All of a sudden you're like, that's still dang impressive.
Yeah.
That's a lot of velocity still.
Yeah.
And so that really changed my mindset, was really that kind of initial event with that 300 Win Mag cutting off to 20 inches.
Now, do you feel like that would happen 300 Win Mags across the board?
No.
Okay. Definitely not.
Yeah, definitely not. It was that load, the propellant, the powder or the propellant that we were using, you know, in the Vortex ammo, just worked in a 300 Win Mag to still gain velocity.
Right.
And even in a 20 inch barrel.
So, and the reason I asked that, right, is because we're not basically telling everybody to go chop your 300 Win Mag down to 20 inches and shoot it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So take all of what we're saying right now with a grain of salt, and it's more of just like, this is our understanding from all the testing and everything that we've done through ours.
Yeah, and I think it's worth mentioning too, if you're a hand loader versus a guy that shoots factory ammo, this is honestly even one more added benefit of hand loading, because if you get into the shorter barrel game, you now can tune or tweak. You can choose, okay, this propellant didn't give me the velocity that I want or the accuracy I want. And maybe it worked great when it was 26 inches, but now that I'm at 20 or 22, I don't get the same level of performance. I can go tweak that. I can go change a different propellant.
Got it.
So that's another added benefit, but not everyone wants to handle it. Totally understand that. But there is still good performing factory ammunition. That one shocked me, 300 Win Mag. You know, and again, I'm not saying go run 20-inch Win Mag and every load you shoot is going to hardly lose any velocity. I mean, 75 feet per second, that's something like, what, 12 and a half feet per second per inch?
Yeah.
So much less than the 25 foot per second average
right.
that we discussed earlier.
Yeah. Have you seen other Magnums that have that same type of performance or other Magnums that are drastically the other way that you're yeah. losing 50 to 100 feet per yeah. second every time that you go 2 inches, let's
well,
say.
Well, we talked about 7 PRC, but I didn't really go into numbers. I'll talk about our 160 grain Vortex LR load because okay. it's an awesome performing product. Great BC, you know, we talk about it all the time for a good reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's super popular, great accuracy, good velocity. Box velocity on that load is 3,050 feet per second.
Mm-hmm.
That's out of a 24-inch Sammy test barrel.
Yep.
We verified it. I know you even did a video months ago.
Yep.
Put it on social where we actually took a Garmin, went to the range, shot it out of multiple rifles, yeah, different lengths.
Three different rifles.
Yep. And it's legit. This ammo
right.
shoots what it says it does.
Yeah. I think that day we had a 20-inch, a 22, and a 24 yep. that we were shooting it out
yep.
of.
Yep. And that's a cartridge that is a Magnum. Again, it does well.
Yeah.
You could argue by design it's more efficient. It's a Magnum that can get away with a 20 or 22.
Yep.
But that's an interesting one because our, again, 3,050 is the 24-inch velocity. That's an average nominal out of our test barrels.
Yep.
Most of the guns we've tested are they're right in that range. Some mm-hmm. might be a little bit higher. Some might be a little bit lower, but most are right at that 30-50.
Yep.
22-inch guns, and I'm talking multiple. I know we've
there's a lot.
We've probably tested how many 22-inch rifles, different makes, different models.
I bet we're at 10 plus.
At least.
Easy.
Yeah. I mean, some of these are custom builds,
yep.
proof barrels, carbon six barrels,
yep.
steel barrels, Bartline barrels, factory guns.
Yeah, I've shot Christensen's, Fierce, All Savage. I mean, like I said, we're at 10 plus 22-inch guns.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen a 22-inch gun go lower than 3,000 feet per second with that load.
Yeah, I think I'm getting, I have a 22-inch, right? And I think I'm getting like 30-10 out of it, yeah. something like
30-10 to 30-25 has actually been about average.
Yeah.
Which all of a sudden, we're only talking 25 feet per second to 30 feet per second
right.
total
right.
for the 2 inches.
Yeah.
You know, now that load and that cartridge is interesting because it's very capable with a 20-inch barrel mm-hmm. as well. I do think 22 is kind of its sweet spot.
Right.
I agree.
You know, I built a 20-inch 7PRC recently. With a carbon proof barrel, wanted it as short as possible to run suppressed and be handy in the mountain, and still shoots awesome, performs great, and I'm just shy of 2,900 feet per second with that load,
yeah.
which again, that's a 20-inch gun pushing right. a 160 grain LRX with the BC of 0.608,
yeah.
and I'm dang near 2,900. I'll take that all day long, but the difference of going 24 to 22, and then 22 to 20, it's not linear,
yeah,
right? It takes a big drop off. You know, the first 2 inches, it didn't hardly use anything.
Right.
The next 2 inches, it starts to dive off.
Yeah. Mitchell just built a 20-inch, right?
Yeah.
7 PRC. And he's getting like 2950 or something, I thought.
Yeah, his is actually climbing pretty good. So,
yeah.
And mine's new. I haven't done a ton of shooting. I can barely getting it broke in. Those were honestly like the first, you know, I shot a few rounds, cleaned it, shot a few rounds, cleaned it. So, I mean, I'm literally under 20 rounds through this barrel.
Right.
But right now, I'm just shy of 29. So, it could speed up a little bit, you know, when it gets kind of broken and settles down. But
yeah.
you're going to be in that 29.
A lot of the 20s are, right, like you said, 29, 25.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we've
which is still impressive.
Right.
Those, so.
Yeah. But I would say if it was me doing it again or suggesting to people listening, if you're thinking 7 PRC, I want to shoot it suppressed, I still want to maintain as much velocity as I can,
yeah,
I'd recommend a 22-inch build.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually built mine like 4 months after the 7 PRCs really came out and started kind of hitting shelves. I took an old 7 rim mag that I had, a Weatherby 7 rim mag, and like ripped it off, and I was like, I'm just going to change this into 7 PRC. I had 3 7 rim mags sitting in the gun safe. It's like, why do I need that? So I did that, and it was funny because I actually was talking to the guys at Carbon 6. I have a Carbon 6 barrel in there, and I was like, what do I want to do? I want to run it suppressed. I knew I wanted to do that, and they basically talked me in because I wanted to run a 20-inch, and they're like, just go ahead and run 22.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even thinking about like lost velocity or anything like that when I was building. I was just like, I want short, compact, you know,
run. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to only shoot this thing suppressed ever, you know, unless I go to somewhere that you can't shoot them suppressed, which I rarely hunt in those type of areas. But yeah, I mean, I've been pretty dang impressed with, you know, being able to do that. I think, like you said, that is truly its sweet spot. And it's interesting how you're starting to see gun manufacturers almost push a lot of 22 inch guns out in 7PRC.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I think it's, let's talk quickly on the 7mm backcountry.
Yeah.
You know, this is a whole other scenario because now we're pushing 80,000 PSI.
Yeah.
But that was really designed to get that same level of performance, but with even 18-inch barrels. I mean, I think some gun manufacturers are even selling 16-inch.
16s, yeah.
I think even Savage has a 16-inch 7 backcountry out there. You know, it's a different scenario because we're compensating for that velocity loss, obviously, of barrel length by loading to a higher pressure.
Right.
And that's how it's able to achieve that. But I would argue not to bash on the 7 backcountry at all. I think for a guy that wants that level of performance and is only ever going to shoot factory ammunition, it's worth considering.
Yeah.
But a guy that wants more options in ammo, gun, maybe wants to hand load or shoot factory, a 7PRC with a 20-inch, 22-inch barrel, you're not that far off a 7 backcountry.
Right.
No, you know, and I would even say if you start looking at...
Because, I mean, the speeds on 7 backcountry, I have yet to shoot one. I mean, obviously, they're loading some of our...
Yeah, they load the 160 LRX
in it, right? So, obviously, they have something out there that's available in a Barnes, you know, Barnes projectile, right? But I guess my thought is, or sorry, what are the speeds? Are they like right around 3,000 feet?
Right at 3,
give or take. Yeah, with a 20-inch.
With a 20-inch.
Yeah, and so that is the benefit. Like,
so basically, if you shot a 7PRC, you might lose 75 feet per second to go down to a 20-inch.
Yep.
Give or take.
You can kind of look at it as. I can shoot a 7 backcountry with a 168 LRX, and it's a great option. Federal loads are 168. It shoots awesome. It's a great bullet. But I could shoot a 7PRC with a 22-inch. It's only 2 inches longer.
Right.
And shoot a 160 LRX to the same velocity.
Right. Gotcha.
So, anyways, something to think about.
Somebody needs to build a 21 and let us know
what that does. We can go down that road. I think Greg wants to talk about all these like crazy random numbers.
I do have a funny story there. So, Mike... our controller here, he has a 7mm mag, wants to get more into the shooting, long range shooting, have it configured better for hunting. He's never had a suppressor before. He's going to be purchasing a suppressor. And so we're helping him do some work on his rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what should I cut it to? He's like, I'll do whatever you tell me. I was like, I'd probably go 22 inches. A 7mm mag, I think it's a little more effective at 22 inches.
Yeah.
Greg Christensen was like, cut it to 20 inches. Just cut it 20 inches. You'll like it better for hunting and packing. You're not really necessarily thinking through the velocity loss difference. Right. Just purely from a short, handy 20 inches pack it around. So Kagan and I, we had a grand idea because we're the ones that fill out the work order. So we cut it to 21 inches. We compromised.
And what'd it do?
We don't know yet. We haven't shot it.
Oh, it's got
safe.
It.
I looked at it today.
So he's got a 21-inch barrel, like it or not. Yeah. I do have a 23-inch barrel gun at home.
Okay.
It's a 6mm Creedmoor. I've got an 18-inch 6mm Creedmoor, and I also have a separate rifle that's a 23-inch. And that was kind of my balance of, like, this gun wasn't like, it's not, it's a predator gun. It's a more of a target gun. It's heavier. I wasn't so worried about short handy. I can still shoot it suppressed, but it's more of a range gun. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah, I had to cut it anyways because I had to thread it. So I was like, we'll go 23.
They do some funky ones, bunch of 19s, 18s.
So as you were kind of talking about that, I was like looking up some ballistics on 7mm mag, right? Like, so if you think that you cut off 5 inches of barrel, and first thing that comes to mind, and we've talked about light versus heavy, right, is like shoot the 139 through that 7mm mag.
Yeah.
Right? And it's got 3210 at the muzzle with a 26-inch barrel. So if you cut 5 inches off, I mean, you're still literally at speeds of 7PRC.
Yeah.
Right. So, and that's probably, if good, not more.
Good example of, hey, let's shoot a lighter bullet.
Right.
Especially an LRX, like the 139. Still good BC, still good weight retention, still going to penetrate.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. I can get away with a shorter barrel.
500-600 yards all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's that whole Magnum. Push stuff as fast as you can, especially when you go cutting barrels off. The faster you can push
it. And even going a step further, right? Like, coppers love to be pushed fast, right?
Yeah.
And like, that's what we can do.
Yep.
So
I've got one more example and then I'll let Kagan share some. This one was also one that kind of surprised me.
Good way or bad way?
Good. I mean, good. I guess I figured it'd be fairly efficient. Short action cartridge. It's actually 6mm Creedmoor. I mentioned just a moment ago, I have an 18-inch barreled Creedmoor I put together for my boys to use. They started using it when they were young. My oldest boy, Jarrett, killed a deer in Arizona when he's 10 years old with it.
Okay.
So I wanted something light recoiling, short, shot awesome, super accurate, but just something that's still manageable for a little, you know, young shooter.
Right.
And I shoot the 95 grain LRX loaded in the Vortex LR. That one, box velocity, 24 inches, 3150. I went shorter on this one than I have most. It's mm-hmm. an 18-inch barrel because I just wanted this, you know, trim little stock, you know, kind of a, I'm not going to call it heavy, but more of a Magnum Sporter weight contour.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted it still light overall. With a can, the thing's just nice. It's just short, handy. Yeah. But surprisingly on that one, I didn't lose hardly any either. I mean, I'm still like 30, 50 plus.
Wow.
You know, and so all of a sudden you're thinking, we talked about the 6.5 Creedmoor. Great cartridge. I'm not going to bash on it. But if I start thinking an 18-inch barreled 6.5 Creedmoor with a 127 that's potentially down in the 2,700 foot per second range now out of that 18-inch barrel versus an 18-inch barrel 6 Creedmoor with a 95 still going plus 3,000. If I look at 400-yard retain velocity and I'm starting to think about deer, antelope, guess what? I'd actually err on the side of the 6 Creedmoor with a 95 grainer. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, you've got a 250 foot per second advantage at 400 yards.
Yeah.
You know, you're just going to get that much better bullet expansion. Obviously, it's a little bit smaller diameter. It's a little bit lighter weight. But if you're keeping it within the realm of the game that it was intended for, you know, more of that medium-sized, thin-skin game, deer, antelope.
Yeah.
It's going to work awesome.
Cool.
Definitely. I'm with Sloan on that one. I've shot a lot of 18-inch 6 Creedmoor.
Yeah.
And I've done a couple 6.5s in that 18 to 19 range and not impressive.
Really?
I mean, just the loss, like you said, you start 200 feet per second slower and then you go cut it off 2 inches and just six definitely steps up there.
What are some of the ones that you guys haven't been impressed with? Because we really haven't got that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always cautious, and we kind of hit it with legacy type longer, more overbore to begin with. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go build a 20-inch 28 Nosler.
Right.
You know, if I'm a 7 STW guy, I'm going to use barrel length to my advantage. Even one of my favorites, I praise all the time, the 280 Ackley Improved.
Yeah.
Mine's a 26-inch gun. It's threaded. Sometimes I run a brake on it. I'm not a huge fan of muzzle brakes just because obviously they're loud. But And it's not that the 280 recoils unmanageable without a brake.
Yeah.
But I've done it. I've thrown a can on that gun and hunted with it.
Let's just talk about recoil for a minute. It's very funny how, you know, growing up, right, we were all like shooting, let's say 270s, 30-06s, 308s, right? And then you kind of step into Magnums, you start shooting 7-rim mag, 300 Win mag, whatever, right? 338s. And then we get older and now we're shooting suppressed. And then you go back and you shoot one of those things with a muzzle brake or without a muzzle brake. And it's like, holy crap. Like, why does this thing kick so bad? And it's like, it really doesn't kick any worse. Like you said, for example, I was texting you this weekend, I think it was. And I was shooting that 280 without a can on it. And I'm like, why does this thing kick so bad? Because I've been shooting a can so much and that recoil mitigation is so nice. It's really funny to think back, but for the longest time, I shot a 7 mag that didn't have a muzzle brake on it, didn't have a can on it, nothing, and like never thought twice about it. Now, granted, I would never shoot more than about 10 or 12 shots at a time, you know what I mean? Because I was like, oh, that's enough. But now, you know, I went and shot that 280 and I shot like 25 rounds to it with a muzzle brake on it. And I was like, God, it's like this thing feels like it kicks a lot, but it really doesn't have horrible recoil.
With a properly designed, like not every muzzle brake is created equal.
Right.
Right. But with most modern design muzzle brakes, they can be incredibly effective at removing the felt recoil right, and keeping you on target. Right. I mean, if you look at a lot of PRS shooters and NRL guys, like a lot of them run brakes for that reason.
Yeah.
Now it's loud and obnoxious.
It is.
You know,
very loud and obnoxious.
The can also help, as you know, reduce that felt recoil. Generally speaking, they're not as effective as a muzzle brake for the felt recoil, But I think you can very much argue that the entire event is reduced.
Yep.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, the truly percussion the that you're getting from that muzzle brake, to me, is going to knock you way more off than felt recoil. Right,
it's the noise, it's the muzzle blast, it's the percussion. Yeah. You know, if I have, even me, like it could be a new shooter, it could be a young kid or a woman that's, and my wife hunts and shoots, but she's not out there the way I am.
Right.
You know, she's going to have a much more pleasant experience with the overall event suppressed versus muzzle brake. Even if the suppressor technically has more felt recoil on the shoulder, the entire event is reduced because of all these other things we've mentioned. The noise, the blast, that percussion, you know, it's just the entire shooting event is brought down to a much more pleasant level and I guess more civilized with the suppressor. But I will say that I think there are times, and I've noticed this lately, when you reach a certain level of recoil, where I think the brakes are that much more effective. Prime example, that 300 Win Mag that I've been talking about. Not an ultralight gun, but it is it's a carbon six barrel. It's kind of more of a Sendero contour. Fairly light stock, but it's not like some carbon fiber 6 pound build.
Right.
I mean, this gun scoped is 8.5 pounds.
Okay.
Again, I'm pushing a 208 grain bullet. It's a lot of mass there, and I'm getting a pretty decent velocity out of that 22 inch. And that is why I went 22 on that build as well, as I knew I was going to shoot that 208.
Yeah.
And so that kind of erred on the side of good balance of I'm going to shoot it suppressed.
Right.
But I'm, I mean, my hand load with that 208 is, I think I'm 2,900.
Okay.
I mean, it's stout.
Yeah.
You go push a 208 grain bullet, 2,900 feet per second, that's 30 caliber. You're not shooting it for fun.
Right.
You know? But anyways, if I'm out at the range, I'm shooting still, you know, I can notice a big difference suppressed. Even though the event is more enjoyable, I think if I want to get back on target quicker or stay more, and you can't stay on target with the 208 grain 30 cal.
Yeah.
2,900, you just can't.
Right.
But the muzzle brake is more effective in that scenario than the suppressor.
Well, it's interesting. So I would put, you know, my 7PRC and my 280 Ackley, right? Like kind of side by side. My 7PRC build is 7¾ pound, give or take, right? And that 280 Ackley build is considerably heavier. I think it's roughly in that 9 pound range. And it feels like, and one I shoot suppressed, which my 7PRC, I literally have not ever even shot it unsuppressed. 280, I shoot it with the brake on it, right? And it feels like that 7PRC, for whatever reason, has noticeable less recoil with the suppressor versus like the 280 with the brake. And I mean, I'm assuming, you know, you tell me if the Barnes brakes, and that's not something that we really like put out there, right? But like talking about the machine shop builds us some brakes from time to time. But it has that Barnes brake, right? So like, do you think that that Barnes brake is one of those better recoil mitigating brakes?
Yeah.
Should be, definitely.
Yeah.
We put a lot of work. We actually done a new one, I don't know, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've done a lot of work, a lot of side by side with different brakes
and
cans, and it's pretty efficient.
So what's your thoughts on that? I mean, and I know we're getting off of a crazy tangent. And
there's other factors like weight of the rifle.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm saying, right? Is like you would think that 281, it has technically like less powder, all that blah, 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 right? Shooting a lighter bullet than the 7PRC is, it's a pound and a half heavier, let's call it, right? Like you would think that 280 should kick less, have less recoil than that 7PRC does, but I swear that 7PRC is.
And it could just be the difference of stock.
Stock design.
Stock design, maybe. Recoil pad. You know, your cheek weld, the profile of the stock has a lot to it. It could also be the perception.
Yeah.
Maybe. Kind of that whole event of it's quieter, it's less percussion, it's less blast.
I definitely think that recoil pad has, you know, I'm not going to call out the two different manufacturers of the stock or whatever, but I think recoil pad has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Stock, you know, design's huge.
Stock design. I mean, they're both carbon fiber stocks, right? So like, but the recoil pad is very different.
Yeah. Yep.
Very, shape very different.
Well, and
center line to bore where it's at versus your head.
Yeah.
There's,
but I mean, they both have carbon fiber barrels on it, right? One's got a 22-inch barrel, one's got a 26-inch barrel. You know, I mean, there's like all these different things. It's very interesting that you would think that 7PRC would have noticeably more recoil, but it just doesn't to me. And maybe it's all in my head and it's complete perception.
Right.
But anyway.
It'd be interesting to have a couple different people shoot them.
Yeah, shoot them side by side and see.
See, and I shoot my 280 with just the brake. And again, not because I need a brake. It's just I have a pretty neat brake on the end of it.
It's
made out of titanium, is lightweight, and it's cool.
So
I use it. But that one.
An in-house brake?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. We don't talk about that
one. I know. All right, okay.
You can leave it. You can leave it.
Well, I was going to say, I don't want to like get Bruno mad at us and be like, what, you guys are going to try to do this? Be like, leave a comment if you want Barnes to start like making breaks.
I don't know that we want to deal with that.
The machine shop guys might get mad at us.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it might bring more machine shop guys in.
Yeah, that's true. All right. I will think before we leave the recoil thing,
because
I want to cover some other variables that get into why velocity is different.
Okay.
But I do want to mention quick with the recoil, because I already talked about that wind mag. The 7PRC is a good balance on that end too. Like when you consider the level of performance that it gets you, and I'm not like a full on, like I know it gets frustrating for some people that are, you know, end users that it seems like you're just always the manufacturers. It's the next latest greatest. I have my 30-06. It does everything that I need. Why do I need this new fancy 7PRC? Great. You don't. Right. Yeah. If your 30-06 you've had for 50 years does great for you, you know, power on. It's a good cartridge too. But you really can't argue though when you think about the level of performance that cartridge can offer, especially with something like our 160 grain LRX.
Yep.
You know, and at a manageable level of recoil, especially suppressed. You know, I think it's kind of that good balance of like a one gun do everything.
Right
in North America.
I mean, it truly is.
Yeah, it can shoot long range, it can shoot close range, it's manageable, it's accurate. You know, it's not some, I mean, I could put my 14-year-old behind it and he's going to do just fine.
Yeah.
You know, but I will say though, doing the reserve ammo lately and shooting more and more with a 6.8 Western, it's interesting because it's not quite 7PRC performance, right? We're shooting 155 grain bullet. That's 277 diameter versus 160 grain bullet. That's 284.
Yeah.
But it's not that far off.
Right.
Still got a good BC. Velocity's pretty good, 2960 muzzle.
It's close.
It's that next step down though in recoil.
Right.
You know, if you're kind of like you wanted something just a little bit lighter, maybe it's more deer, antelope, occasionally elk,
mountain goat,
those kind of things.
Yeah.
And you wanted something that was even less recoil than a 7PRC.
Right.
It's a good one to think about.
Let's talk about 6.8 Western real quick, because obviously we've been playing with it a lot lately. Yeah. And we just did this cool kind of semi-custom build with Tenacity, because they don't, as of right now, when we're recording this podcast, they do not make a 6.8 Western.
Right.
But we figured out a way to make it happen, if you will. We reached out to our buddies at Proof. They sent us a barrel. Tenacity sent us all the parts, right? And we basically put it together here to make a 6.8 Western and a Tenacity rifle.
Right.
To be able to take on this mountain goat hunt for me next month. But what we have seen, because we did get a little bit shorter barrel in that, is what are your thoughts on this is one of those cartridges that is kind of designed to be a 24-inch?
In reality, if you think back to what we talked about earlier, where I look at like a theoretical design of cartridge case, volume, diameter, length, it should be one that's efficient.
Right.
It should be one that doesn't lose. And I think it is to a point.
Yeah.
The reserve ammo, great load with that 155.
Yeah.
The propellant we used in that one, super effective, accurate as all get out, consistent SDs. It is losing a little bit more than I would have thought in that shorter barrel.
Yeah. I think it's not a big deal, right? Like, I mean, we're not talking 150 feet per second. We're not really talking 100 feet per second in that 2 inches that we're losing, right? But it's just interesting that, again, you know, the 6.8 Western came out before 7PRC. It's essentially its smaller sibling, if you want to call it that, even though obviously major different manufacturers that made it. But it was kind of the 7PRC before its time, if you will. But again, like you said, you would think that they're very, very, they're so dang similar, minus 277 and 284, that they should do the exact same thing.
But yeah, and I think with different propellants,
right,
you could get velocity back up in a 20-inch 6.8 Western.
Yeah.
But again, it's always a trade-off. Maybe that one doesn't shoot as accurately.
Right.
Maybe it doesn't have as low a standard deviation. And so when we're developing loads, you know, we have to consider all the factors.
Right.
You know, it's not just, hey, this was designed to have great velocity in a 20-inch barrel.
Yeah.
It's, we wanted to hit accuracy requirements. We want to hit low standard deviation requirements, you know, and obviously we still want to have good velocity as well to be competitive in the market. But
I do want to pimp the reserve on that, like, because I've been shooting that thing so much. I mean, I think I've put like 30, 40 rounds to it this week. But the SDs I'm getting on it is like 7 and below. I think that I had one that I did a 5-shot group and it was like a 3 or something. Yeah. It was crazy. So, you know, obviously reserve has really taken off. We have been thoroughly impressed with everyone and want to say thank you as well, right? Because like you've proven that we've been able to do this, like reserve. I mean, now we're essentially a month and a half in at this point, right? And we've already sold out a 6.8 Western 3 different times, which is kind of crazy. Like, I think it's kind of even blown our minds, like internally. We've sold out a 257 once, we've sold out a 300 Super Wisdom, right? And and we're on the verge of selling out of our initial runs and the other ones as well. So, you know, as podcast listeners or watchers, you know, just quick little shout out and thanks to the Barn fan base.
No, absolutely. That's a super fun project. We're proud of it's awesome ammo. We're excited that the consumer base has responded.
With that, since we just talked about 6.8 Western, let's talk about the 257 Weatherby and what it does when you start chopping off inches.
That's a good example of one that really is not ideal.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have the firsthand experience. And I think that like this is kind of where we started having this bigger conversation as we started testing some of these things.
Yeah, 257 is a good example of a cartridge that is ideal with a 26 inch.
Yeah.
Right. Slow burning powders, big overbore cartridge, long powder column. And you could argue it starts so dang fast. So what if you lose 200 feet per second?
Not hurting you're anything.
Still cruising. You know, when you're talking 3,500, 3,450, whatever it is, you know, to begin with, you lose 200 feet, guess what? I'm still going 3,300 feet per second.
Right.
It's still fast, but
yeah,
it's not going to be. You could be 40 foot per second per inch on that one or more.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so I was shooting that Model 307 Alpine CT, right? And it's got a 24-inch barrel. And when I first started shooting, and granted, you know, we could go down this rabbit hole as well, right, of like barrels, quote, speeding up as you start to shoot them and all that type of stuff. But like when I first got that gun and we were shooting it and testing, you know, it was weird because I was like getting like 3420 and I'm looking at Greg and I'm like, what in the hell are you doing? I was like, this thing's supposed to be hitting 3500, like let's get this speed up. And I'm giving, you know, the lab guys grief and Greg grief and everything else. But as I've shot it more, I think the last time that I did it, I averaged, you know, and I shot 10, 15 shots, something like that. I think I averaged like 3470. Yeah. So at that point, it's like, okay, that's not a big deal. It's 15 inches of, 15 foot per second an inch.
Right.
No big deal.
Right. And again, even if you lost 100 feet total, you're still 3400 feet per second. I mean, that's fast and flat regardless. But you're right. It's one that, are you going to go build a 20 inch 257 Weatherby? Probably not.
Right.
You know, 300 Weatherby.
Well, and I mean, you think about like a 257 Weatherby, right? It's kind of that quote. I mean, we talked about it before on a podcast, actually a podcast that you were on as well, right? It's kind of the do-all antelope gun, right? It's the literally the perfect antelope gun. So in thinking about that, right, you're toting it around the prairie, right? It's not really mountainous terrain for the most part. Obviously, I did that with that gun, but you don't need a really a super short, compact gun. Having a 26, 24-inch barrel is not a big deal to
anything.
It.
Yeah, no good point. Yeah, and it, I do have an example in 257 Weatherby where, you know, and I'm not going to say go build a longer 257 Weatherby, but, you know, you could say, what if I went 27-inch barrel? What if I went 28-inch barrel? I mean, I remember when...
Though a 30.
build a 30.
Thirties were big in the F class world.
Yeah, I mean they were. Like you think about back in the day. I'm not an F class guy. I mean our Sierra counterparts, you got Mark Walker and Tommy Todd, those guys, I mean they're big time F class shooters. But right. I know enough about that game many years ago that like 6.5 284 Norma with a 30-inch barrel, yep. like 140-grain bullet, 142-grain bullet, like that they hit 3K with that load. Like that's what that was the load.
Yeah.
You know? But anyways, there's an employee here at Barnes, Tanner down in Ammo. He's got a custom 257 Weatherby.
Yeah.
It's like a spiral fluted, heavy contour barrel. And he shot some of that reserve ammo through it. Yeah. And I swore it was like a 28-inch barrel. This thing looks like it's 10 feet long. So I haven't put a tape on. I called him today, actually.
Yeah.
I was like, Tanner, how long's your barrel? He's like, it's 26 inches. And I swear it's 28 inches. But he swears it's 26 inches long. But anyways, we shot it through, you know, just as another test gun. Just, hey, bring in your gun. We're trying to get all the samples we can.
Right.
And he's getting 3,600 feet per second out of that gun with reserve. So.
Thing's smoking.
Smoking.
Cruising.
That's awesome.
I think that's one thing to note, too, with all of this stuff. I mean, 6.8 Western, 257 Weatherby. We can go talk to 7 PRC because we're 15, 20 guns in at different barrel lengths. Yeah. Where 6.8 Western, 257 Weatherby, we just haven't done it. I mean,
yeah, 6.8, we're the 3 or 4 right. guns into yep. kind of all of these, 5 maybe. Right.
And obviously all of our test barrels, when we develop loads, you know, we're shooting pressure and velocity testing out of a Sammy spec test right. barrel. They're all 24 inches yep. for rifle, right. Generally, right? Yep. You know, yep. some of the carbine yep. stuff is shorter. You know, you get into 20-inch stuff. But generally speaking, the majority of Sammy test barrel lengths are 24-inch. Yep. Even to the point of a frustration as a ballistician's perspective, because you can talk ultra mags
yeah.
and STWs and 20 Nosler and 257 Weatherby, like, and it's changing a little bit. But, like, you could argue that, like, most of the guns in the field are 26 inch.
Right.
So why?
So let me match that.
Right. Let me match that. Why is my test barrel length 24 inch?
Right.
So I'm going to go put a box velocity based off a 24 inch barrel when most of the guns in the field are 26 inch. Mm-hmm. So we've actually even done that times where with some of those, we'll list 26 inch velocity like we did on the 257 Weatherby reserve, just knowing that, hey, yeah. the majority of the guns out there are actually going to be 26 inch.
Right.
Try to give them as much reasonable accurate, useful information as we can. Now, chronographs are super available now. Stuff like the Garmins, I mean, for the price of one of those and how cool they are and handy, like, go get one.
You know? So incredibly definitely. Handy.
You know, you can know your actual velocity because there's variables. You know, and Kagan, I'll let him talk to some of those because I think that's where he was getting at, but there are so many factors to consider.
Oh, yeah. Right. Every gun's different. Every chamber's different. I mean, load, you could go shoot. You could take 257 Weatherby, hand load it, shoot 5 different powders. There are just so many variables that come into to everybody's setup and gun. And so don't take everything we say with dead set that you're going to lose a bunch if you have a short 257 Weatherby or if you want to build a short one.
Right.
Build it. Let us know. 6.8. Yeah. Like I said, I've shot a lot of 6.8s, but they're all 26 inch. So I'm no help with the, yeah. with the short stuff.
Yeah. And again, when we did reserve, obviously the qualifications through test barrels, that's the, you know, the standard, and that's right. how we can control in a production environment. You know, that's, we can't, you know, we shoot the actual firearms as a data point, informational. Yeah. It's good, but we have to control out of the test barrel, both right. from a pressure velocity and an accuracy perspective. But you're right, most of the 6.8 Western rifles that we brought in when we did reserve were actually 24 or 26 inch guns. We didn't yep. have a lot of short barreled 6.8s until we built this Tenacity one.
I think that Tenacity is the shortest one I've
yeah.
shot and had, so.
Yeah.
Well,
or seen.
Did we put a 22 inch or 20 inch barrel on that?
It's a 22.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So we talked about variables. Like, start talking to me about. I mean, we kind of hit on it a little bit, right, with terminal performance and how losing massive amounts of speed is going to. Affect your range, right? But like, let's talk about some of those cartridges that, like, I mean, we kind of hit on a little bit. 257, I really don't think you have to worry about because if you're only losing, let's say, 100 feet per second or something like that, it still has 700-800 right. yards type performance, right?
Yeah.
Like, just to be honest. But maybe 6.5 Creedmoor, you're not able to do, or maybe like, let's just say that you wanted to do something with a 243, for example, for your kid, and you wanted to chop it down to a 20-inch, a dang 243s. I mean, yeah, they're pretty dang fast, but I would think that effective range would go down drastically in like something like that.
It can. I mean, especially the ones where you're talking, they're probably only in that 300-400 yard to begin with.
Right.
For realistic, you know, good terminal performance, we're keeping velocity and energy up. The bullet's going to expand as designed because you're above the threshold of retained velocity. Yeah. And so if we lose 200 feet per second to begin with.
Right.
And we only had that 300 to 400 yards to start with. All of a sudden, I'm 200 yards or 250 yards. So that's some. That's where you need to watch it. Again, it's really, I think it's when you go below 20 inches.
Okay.
Two. You know, you start going 16-inch guns, 18-inch guns, especially on stuff like 6.5 Creedmoor, 308, 7mm08, some of these short action standard cartridges. You know, we're only in that 2,600 to 2,700 foot per second muzzle velocity to begin with.
Right.
And if all of a sudden I'm losing 100, 200 feet, you know, I'm potentially reducing that effective range.
So I want to flip that on you and say, do you think that you could build a 16-inch 300 Win Mag and still keep your consistent velocity or you, like your loss velocity, right? You were saying that you only lost like 75 feet per second or something like that.
I think you're going to drop off quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Okay.
So that's a good point to make, right? Is that like, yeah, you might only start to lose a little bit when you get 4 inches chopped off, but you start getting 6, 8 inches. Right. And now that's where you're going to really see this huge curve.
Well, and I think it's a little bit that diminishing returns on both ends.
Right.
You know, we could talk about when you go longer and longer and longer, are you going to gain velocity? Well, no, eventually you're not. Like 257 Weatherby, is a 30-inch barrel that much more effective?
Yeah.
Like, it might be a little bit faster, but you're not getting that return per inch, right? And it could go the other way too. If I have a 16-inch barrel Win Mag, I guarantee you there's specific propellants that you could dang near hit that velocity with a 16-inch 308.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's going to be that much more efficient.
Mm. Okay.
That powder efficiency comes huge into it.
Well, and that's one of the things that I want to talk about as well, right? Is okay, we've talked about chopping your barrel, but what if you did start to like want to lengthen your barrel? Most people are not going to want to do this, but if you did, right? Like let's say that a standard is a 24, what if you went to 26 or 28? Like, do you think it's going to, I mean, again, I know it's all cartridge specific and everything like that, but like, do you think that there's some added benefit that, for example, like, I guess go back to 6.8 Western, right? What if you made that a 26-inch barrel and now you're shooting a 155 at 30, 50 potentially?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to gain.
Yeah.
You know, especially something like a 6.8 Western or 26-inch, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to probably be in that 30, 50, 3100 even, depending on bullet weight and propellant used. But again, it's that trade-off. What's the objective, right? With this rifle, is it all about velocity?
Right.
Is it a truck gun? Is it a plains gun? Is it a box blind? Is it, you know, I'm hunting Senderos in Texas in a tower blind.
And one thing that I could think about, right, is like maybe there's some people out there that just don't want to shoot suppressed. So maybe they want to build a little bit longer gun because they're like, well, I'm never going to shoot suppressed.
Right.
Because that's where I think that, again, just to kind of like almost circle back to what really got this conversation started, right, is like,
if you go too long, eventually you're going to hit a point where it's just not worth it, right? Yeah. You're not gaining much for the additional inches of barrel.
Right.
Right. Just the way the propellant's burning and the energy you're getting off of it, that acceleration of that projectile, you're not pushing it that much faster, right? But you could, like, a good example, okay?
Yeah.
In the lab, we have test barrels. We have function test barrels where we shoot stuff in the water tank. We have accuracy test barrels. These are full 1.2-inch diameter. They go into return to battery rest. Generally, we start long.
Yeah, most of them are 26, 27 inches,
right. And a lot of that is because as, you know, we shoot these a lot. You know, we're putting thousands and thousands of rounds in some of these. We'll actually cut and rechamber. And so starting long allows us to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're a hunter with a hunting rifle, it's probably not even crossing your mind. But if you're a match guy, you know, your PRS shooter, you know, if you start with enough full diameter shank, you could potentially cut and rechamber that barrel a couple times as that throat erodes. And that's where maybe there could be a benefit of starting a little bit longer. You know, again, it's a scenario. I don't really care that it's heavier or longer for that application versus I need this short handy mountain gun or woods gun or anything like that. So there are those times where it could make sense to go a little bit longer. You know, if it's a, you know, maybe you're a varmint shooter and you do a lot of high volume in a, you know, a 22 Creedmoor or 22 250 or some fast 25 cal or 6mm.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you have to have enough full diameter barrel length up front to mm-hmm. rechamber X amount of times.
Yeah.
You can't start to taper too soon.
Right.
But I mean, I've done that even on my 6x47, Lapua match rifle.
Hmm.
It's like a Palma contour, and I purposely ran like some crazy, like,
I don't know what those were, like 4-inch shanks or something. Shanks
that's full diameter, so I could potentially cut and rechamber multiple times. You know, and while I do that, my barrel, obviously, on the other end, is going to get shorter and shorter and shorter.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, something to kind of think about. It's kind of odd, but.
Cool. Do you guys got anything else you're thinking about?
Final kind of thought for me, I look at, and I think it's kind of a neat, and take this for what it is, I'm not going to name a specific cartridge, but I think in my mind, if I'm thinking like Western open country, big game hunting,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I want to shoot suppressed, I think it's pretty neat to think about, okay, what cartridge, bullet, weight, combination can get me that 2,900 to 3,000 foot per second range out of a, say, 20 or 22 inch barrel. And that's kind of,
that's where you want to be.
That's where I want to be.
Sweet spot.
That's a sweet spot, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that for some reason, to me, like 3,000 foot per second's always kind of been like the sweet spot of where I want my, you know, projectile to be going out of the muzzle. You know, and this is way before I started thinking about getting shorter and shorter. And now I feel like, you know, again, go back to that 280. It's like I started kind of building that thing up and I'm getting over 3,000, but I'm like, can I push a little bit faster? Like, why not?
Yeah. The hand load side of things, that's the benefit to that right there.
Right.
I mean, you now have the option of, I mean, that's the only reason I hand load anymore.
It's just to push things.
So I can get them. I mean, I took a 260 and cut it to 18 inches. Well, I want my velocity back. So guess what? I'm going to hand load and be selective on powders and you'll gain it back.
Right.
It'll come back.
If you had one that you were going to select right now, one cartridge that you could have for the rest of your life, and you wanted it in a 22-inch barrel, shooting it suppressed, what would you choose?
It'd be hard not to do a 7PRC.
Yeah.
I'm with Greg. Just where it's been and what it's done, a 7 would be.
I'm slowly converting Greg to a 7PRC guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a 7 guy, and I'll probably never build one, but.
Yes, you will.
I've had a lot of different 7s. Over the years, 7 Rem Mag, 280 Ackley's, 7 MO8. I've kind of always been, I almost had a 7 STW. It was on my list for a long time.
Yeah.
That dates me a little bit.
But I mean, you take like a 270, though. I've shot we've talked on the last podcast, a lot of 270 in my life, and a lot of 22-inch guns are out there now, and you put the right bullet and right hand load, 129 LRX, and push it to 3150.
Right.
Yeah, and I know we're trying to wrap up, but that is a funny point because how many guys, like, nobody wants to really think like 270 win. Like, it is known to be fast and flat shooting, but like in like today's modern cartridge talk, right? 6.5 Creedmoor, yeah, it's a long range round.
Right.
You know? You could go run a 20-inch 270, and that's not an efficient example.
Yeah.
But you're still stomping a 6.5 Creedmoor.
Right.
With the same caliber or same and class of bullet weight.
Especially a 20-inch 6.5 Creedmoor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And that makes a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like, you know, I go back. It's like I shot 270 growing up all my life. And then I went to 7 Rem Mag, now 7 PRC. But it's like, why aren't we shooting 270s? Talk about recoil mitigation and everything else, right? I mean, you can do it. Yeah, so
for sure.
Cool. Thanks, guys, for coming on the podcast and giving me your time today. And thanks for everybody that's listening. I hope you enjoyed this. And yeah, we'll see you again on another Barnes Bullets podcast.